Hi, everyone, and welcome back to season 4 of Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the Nikki Green, and we are mixing things up this season. With my new book, Chameleon Mindset, launching, I want to share more of the book's concepts with all of you. I have also been blessed to expand my network throughout the podcast community and to other inspirational speakers. I want to bring more guests on to discuss these important topics together, so we're going to mix it up, no more interview format, and we're going to have some fun. So next up, we're going to do a few fun episodes. Hope you enjoy them. And don't forget to give us a like, a follow on your favorite podcast platform. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm your host, Nikki Green. And today, my wonderful friend, Kelly Sparta, is here to share with us some insights on law of attraction. Hi, dear. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here in sunny Panama. We're coming into to what's known as summer here, which is also known as the windy season. And winds are pretty strong here, but I understand they're strong enough to blow you away when we get later in the season. So I'm excited. Never been here for it.
Well, they keep saying Chicago's the windy city, but luckily I've been pretty good on that front so far in my time here.
From what I've heard, I think we're going to give you a run for your money.
Well, I can't wait to come visit and see for myself.
By all means. I hear January is like peak season, so.
Not here, so that'll be a great time for me to come visit.
There you go.
Well, tell everybody a little bit about yourself. I know you're in Panama and you are doing some amazing work in the areas of law of attraction and so many other things. So why don't we kick things off and share a little bit more about you?
Fantastic. So I'm a transformational shaman and I'm an executive coach for spiritually minded professionals who are overachievers. And so my people are highly overachieving. They love to have a plan and a backup plan and a backup plan for their backup plan. And they are perfectionists and a little bit of a control freak, a lot of a control freak. And these are my people. I love them. And, you know, I love them because I used to be them. So, and the work that I do is, I work with people on the intersection between personal growth and development and energetics. And so when you combine the two, when you do the work on an energetic level and on a mental, emotional level, then you combine those together, you end up with transformation. That's where transformational actually happens. And the reason that I talk about transformation, and people will say transformation when what they mean is personal growth. It's not the same thing. So personal growth is skill building. It's like, okay, if I get triggered, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and then I will be calmer and I will respond better and then life will be better and blah, blah, blah. I don't work at that level. I mean, yes, I teach people some skills, but they are interim skills on the way to having a true transformation, which is I am seeing the world differently and therefore I am responding differently. I am no longer being triggered by these things because I don't perceive them in the same way. And that's the level that I work with people on, is shifting that perspective, right? And so when I'm doing this with people, I'm working, you know, all my people are also empaths. So meaning they feel what other people feel, right? So you get overwhelmed by other people's strong emotions. You know, if somebody's got a really strong opinion, you're not really sure what yours is anymore because theirs is so overwhelming. And, you know, maybe I have to go to the bathroom to figure out what I really think about this. God forbid there's somebody who's really attracted to you and you don't know how you feel because their attraction is so strong. And then you're like, okay. And then you get home and go, why did I do that? Right? That's the empath thing. Yay. And I work with empaths to not have that happen. And so, you know, all of these things go into the process, right? So when we work on this stuff, it's about not just getting mental safety and emotional safety, but it's also energetic safety. And so that becomes so relevant. And, you know, I'm certain that you're talking to empaths as well with the chameleon thing going on, because they're all chameleons. They're like, I'm a different person with every person, right?
Yeah, no, I love this. I know a lot of people that you're talking about, and I really love it because you're really doing the deep work. You know, there's a lot of folks out there and they're kind of like getting people started and doing some foundation, which is good. You know, everyone's got to start somewhere, because most people are terrified of the real work. So, you know, it takes them a while to kind of get the courage up to really get into this deep stuff, especially when they are the more feeling folks, because you're already kind of on the surface and you're struggling to like create your own existence. And so then it's like, oh, you just come bursting through sometimes. And I know I've definitely been there on some occasions.
Well, and I hear that a lot. I hear about the, you know, the fear factor, right? It's the, oh my God, how am I going to do this? I'm barely getting through on my life right now. I'm barely holding on. And it's, you know, what's the irony with that is that these are the same people who, if there was a child in a burning building, they would run in to get that child. Okay. In a heartbeat, no question, no thought for their own safety. Screw that. I'm out. Right. I'm going and I'm getting the child. Right. But when it comes to saving their own inner child, they don't do the same thing. Right. And so, you know, I'm like, just see it as somebody else's child in the thing and just go get it. Right. You need to save your own child from the building. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I saw it so many times, you know, in the boardroom, in the conference room, right. Is there's all these incredibly, you know, intelligent, you know, overachieving type of people, but there's so much they haven't really dealt with. And sometimes it comes out in their work. And so they're not the best leader that they can be. They're not the best partner they can be at home. They're constantly, you know, again, sort of externally facing and working rather than taking a moment to do this internal reflection. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, and you know, being perfectionists, they're often also micromanagers, right? Because, you know, it's got to be done to my standards. And if it's not done my way, then it's all messed up. That ain't right. Doesn't matter that you got it done. Doesn't matter that it's done. Doesn't matter. Wasn't my way. It's not right. Right. Yeah. So you, all of those things show up as well. And there's all kinds of ways in which this propagates into the business world. You know, business owners will often poorly priced products because they're codependent with their clients. They will let their employees run all over them because they're codependent, or mothering their employees, or, you know, parenting their employees. You know, a lot of these things play into business, and it's significant. And, you know, it really impacts your ability to make a good living. And, you know, you may even be thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good. But you could be doing better. I can tell you right now. I promise you. And it also impacts, you know, this idea that if I work harder, if I work harder, if I work harder, it's the not good enough, the imposter syndrome, the, you know, all of that. If I work harder, if I work harder, then they'll get noticed. And that's not how you get noticed in corporate America. Mm-hmm. It is not about work harder. It is about work smarter and work your politics. And work the people that are going to notice you, you know, get noticed and toot your horn and let people know what you've done, which of course, you know, empaths also suck at. So yeah, all these things and more. But we were talking about law of attraction today, right? I mean, I'm wandering us down
the
road.
Wherever the conversation takes us. So a couple of things that I talk about in the new book too is I talk about the time I stayed too long. And I use that in a couple of different circumstances in my life. You know, the time I stayed too long in a race that I was doing, and I probably should have quit long before I got involved in this ridiculous half Ironman that I wasn't trained for. The time I stayed too long in a relationship with parts of my family that were definitely toxic and not helping. But also the time I stayed too long in a job. And it was a job I loved, actually, but I had outgrown the work. But I was still so loyal to the people, to the manager I had and the friends I made in the department. I kept kind of hanging out because I liked them and I was comfortable. Instead of really pushing myself, like you said, to kind of the next level and really doing the things I needed to do to get the job I needed and the progression I needed, I stayed too long. And it actually made me really sad, because then I end up leaving more on kind of bad terms than like, hey, let's make a positive decision and make a change, right?
Well, and this happens a lot with empaths too, right? Because they'll stay too long in romantic relationships in particular. Happens all the time, because they're meshing their energies with their partner. And, you know, unlike other people where energetically, if you read the metaphysical stuff, they're like, oh, you're corded to your partner. No, 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 no. Not for empaths. We just smush all of our energies together and we create a single unit. And then we go, I don't know why I can't leave this person who's so toxic for me. I don't know, maybe because you don't exist as a separate individual anymore. That could be part of the problem. So, you know, sieve that energy out, pull your energy back, shove theirs out of your field. Maybe it'll be easier to leave them then, right? But that's how we do it, because that's how a codependent environment is when you grow up as a child. And that's what you're taught. So plus, you know, everything on, you know, the media, Hollywood is like, oh, you become two, become one. No, stop that. Stop it. Stop
binding our hands and keeping us locked together.
Well, like, and this is such a good thing. Joining your lives together, not your energy fields.
Exactly. To the point where you disappear. And this is why, you know, people, when they have to leave those things, it is so detrimental, because you're back into free fall. You're kind of reforming who you are. You've spent so much time doing that thing, whether it's a career or whether it's a personal relationship, that becomes you. And the thing I always like with the chameleon metaphor is you're still yourself, like deep down. You can go be in that relationship. You can go do that career. You can go attract the things that you want to do. But at the end of the day, you still need to come back and be you and find the zen and the balance that is you. Hi, everyone. Nikki Green here, and I am here to tell you that Chameleon Mindset is on its way. If you'd like to learn more about the Chameleon Mindset book, the online course that'll help keep you motivated and doing some of the fun Karate Kid exercises, go to chameleonmindsetbook.com and you'll find more information about pre-sales, bonuses, and so much more. Talk a little bit about, you know, how you work with clients that way and what you've seen that helps people stay that balanced.
Yeah, well, so in order to answer that question, I have to answer a bigger question, which is how do we grow, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how do we heal, and then how do we grow, right? Because those are different things. And so how do we heal is, first you have to find mental, emotional, and energetic safety. Because until you have that, your anxiety levels, your worry, your self-doubt, your judgment, your blah, 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 monkey mind, you have no bandwidth to do anything else, because your brain's just, you know, you're having your arguments with six different people in your head 40 times that you've never told out loud that you were upset with, right? You know, I mean, all of this stuff, right? And you know, that weird look that they gave, which probably was them passing gas, was actually you just thinking that suddenly they hate you, right? And so, you know, it's all this stuff just goes through your brain, and you have no room, right? You have no room in your brain for this. And so that's the first thing. You have to clear the bandwidth to be able to even think about this stuff. And that's where the finding mental, emotional, and energetic safety comes in, right? So that's step one. Step two is you have to solidify your identity, your sense of self, your energetic container that holds your personal power, right? Your identity is your energetic container that holds your personal power. If you don't know who you are, you will not be able to hold your personal power. Okay. And so to do that, you have to claim your space and set your boundaries, own your power, internalize your sense of value, and learn how to love yourself. And along the way, you're going to have to learn some energetics around manifesting. You're also going to have to learn how to open your heart, because those things are part of that process. So once you have learned how to do those pieces, now you have a solid sense of self. That's how you come back to yourself when you wander off and then come back, right? Is by creating that solid sense of self, which you weren't allowed to have as a child, right? And then from there, then you can begin to grow by doing what in my circles is called shadow work, or, you know, digging out the buttons and the triggers and the things that send you flying, right? And you can do that because you now have a solid container to hold it in, and you're not constantly plagued with the thoughts that are pulling you away from your focus, because you're not in constant anxiety, worry, and dread anymore, right? So that's why you do those things first. A lot of people try to skip to the end, and then depending upon whether or not they have good self-preservation skills, if you have excellent self-preservation skills, you'll skip to the end and nothing will work. You'll try to do it and it won't work. And you'll be like, this stuff doesn't work. And you'll wander off, right? If you have terrible self-preservation skills, which a lot of empaths do, then you will just re-traumatize yourself and you'll go, ah, I can't do this. It's too hard. Right. And then you start over again. Right. Yes. And so this is why I'm on this jihad right now to say, please do the first two steps first so you can stop hurting yourself or thinking it doesn't work. Right.
Yeah. Thing. Well, and I've seen it, you know, and I felt it too, you know, and in my book, I called this the zebras. The zebras are putting it like, oh, I'm out here. Here's where I'm at. This is authentic and genuine me. But they're still trying to create this Instagram perfect life or career or, you know, whatever, dog and cat and, you know, the whole nine yards. And when reality, they're yards away from that, you know, they're trying to protect their shell. And it's like the more they fiercely push out, the more those things crumble and actually crush them, I think, under the weight of this sort of false persona that they're putting out into the world.
Or just be, I'm always in positivity, never in negativity, right? That's the ultimate spiritual bypass. You know, yes, you want to focus on the positive, but you have to acknowledge the negative or else it will eat you while you're not looking at it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I used to have a boss who's... Yeah, he started the day and, you know, he'd say, oh, how was your day? You know, how was your night? Whatever, you know, and I'd give an honest answer. Oh, you know, I had a hard test last night or whatever was going on with school. And, you know, or I was busy planning my wedding at the time. And he's like, no. When people ask you that question at work, they don't really want to know anything about you. Just say, oh, yes, I'm doing fine. How are you? And it crushed me when he told me that. And I think so many people get that bad advice of don't be authentic. Don't share about yourself. Just keep pushing that persona out. And I really hope, you know, especially through some of the great work that you're doing, that we can continue to encourage people to get rid of that layer and really show and answer the question honestly. How are you doing today? Right?
Yeah, and in certain levels of corporate America, you can do that, and in certain levels, you can't. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, certain levels, they're going to be like, oh no, you don't say truth, right? But there are ways in which you can speak truth. You just don't do it in the same way that you speak it in other places, right? And there are ways to engender that. Especially if you're at the top of the chart, if you're at the top of that org chart, you are in a great position to create a healthy environment. But change has to come from the top down, right? Mm-hmm. If you are in a toxic environment and you're middle of the org chart, there is no fixing that. You need to know, you just need to find a more healthy space, right? Mm-hmm. You have to acknowledge where you are in the org chart and what power you have, right? If you're at senior VP level, you can protect your people to a certain extent, but you're still going to be in the shark pool and in the C-suite. That's just kind of how it flies, you know? Yeah. So it's just, you know, being realistic, but we also have to acknowledge what's true for us. And, you know, for some people, they compartmentalize and they do their authentic stuff in one part of their life, and they reserve this over here, and they operate in the rules of the environment over there. And it's not ideal. It's a sucky world right now that it's not ideal, but you know, it is what it is.
And hopefully we're getting closer. And I think that's it. I mean, you talked about early on the importance of the safety part of it as well. It's very difficult to go try to be yourself and put yourself out there like that in an environment that isn't going to be receptive to what you're sharing. And it can be harmful to yourself too, if you're, you know, think that they're going to be accepting and all of a sudden, you know, you hit that wall of an acceptance. And so I think that is important for the leaders that are listening to this podcast as well. You know, many of my peers and people that are now at other, you know, big companies, continuing to showcase what a real leader can be like. You know, we talk about all these DEI initiatives and all these things that are going to so magically make the world a better place through online courses and not actually connecting as people, you know, and allowing us to be vulnerable. But I really hope this next generation can start to learn some of these skills earlier on so that as they lead, they can lead with that vulnerability and really make it a safe environment for themselves and for others. So.
Yeah, I heard something interesting the other day, and I hadn't thought about it this way, but it's totally true. Gen Z grew up with emotional maturity-based Disney films. I mean, if you think about it, they got Inside Out. They got Spirited Away. They got... they got Soul, right? There's a whole bunch of these that teach emotional maturity that in a way that my generation and your generation never got, right? I'm Gen X, you're millennial, right? Yeah, so yeah, we didn't get it. And so, you know, hopefully it will offset the stuck in the technology, which is the other piece, because they don't often interact with each other because of technology. And so that's going to be the biggest problem for them, is to learn how to interact with each other so that they can create the relationships that are necessary in order to make these shifts, right? And so, yeah. You know, every generation has their problems. I mean, my generation is the I don't care generation. You're like, you're the rebels. We don't care what you think. You know, are you cranky about it? Well, too bad. Stick a sucker in your mouth so you don't whine at me, right? And it's just, that's my generation, because we grew up with parents who didn't care. You know, they were just like, go outside, don't say anything, and don't come back before the lights turn on, you know?
And go do your thing. Well, and some of it gave us some good upbringing. Independence too, because it made me, I think, bold too, to just go try things that I wasn't always afraid of, like, you know, a helicopter parent, like getting mad at me and I was going to be in trouble. It was sort of like, you did what you did. And unless you really did get in trouble.
Yeah. If you really did get in trouble though. Yeah. That's another thing. Yeah.
I definitely did that. That's book number one. I'll send that to you for some later reading.
I feel ya. I often say if I had to write my life story, it would have to be in multiple books, because nobody would believe it all happened to one person.
Yeah, exactly. So many stories to tell, and so much, so many adventures that are still yet to be had, I think.
Yes. So. I'm on a great adventure now. I just moved to Panama 4 months ago. So, hey.
I know. And I'm so excited. I can't wait. Hopefully, well, as I'm opening up and getting ready to travel with the book tour, I will hopefully put that on the spot, and I will come down to Panama and spend some time. It's on my list. It's one of the countries I haven't been to yet. So definitely see all new countries, all new states, kids, all new Canadian provinces, everywhere I can get to. Oh, we're going to sing. We're going to dance. I won't sing. I'll let Kelly sing.
And I'll do the dancing.
Well, it's been lovely having you on the show today, Kelly. I know I just love spending time with you. I always learn so much from you through our encounters, and I can't wait to continue working with you in some of our networking communities that we belong in. I know you've got lots going on there personally, and we've got lots of stuff going on over here too. So yep. We're going to say goodbye to everybody. And is there anybody or where you want to send people, where they can find you and learn more about the work that you do?
Yeah. Come visit me at kellysparta.com. It's KellySparta.com, as you see it on the screen, if you're watching on the video. I don't know if you do video and audio, but and I've got a podcast called Spirit Sherpa that you can find on any podcast player.
Yes. And if you got in with the book bonuses for Chameleon Mindset during the pre-order, Kelly's book is one of the options there as a part of the $1,000 in bonuses that are available to those that get it before we're available on Amazon. So much more exciting stuff to come in the Chameleon community. So stay tuned as we get into next year. And thanks again, Kelly, for joining us today. And we'll see all of you where all the cool kids hang out that do podcasts. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today for another episode of Stand Up and Stand Out. You know you can catch us where all the cool kids hang out, the Do podcast, on all the major platforms. And if you want to connect with Nikki directly, you can get a hold of me on my personal site, thenikkigreen360.com. There you can check out my website, you can see any of my new books, you can learn more about this podcast, and follow us on social. Can't wait to hear from you, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.